First, some very good medical news came out recently. The rate of deaths from cancer in the United States dropped 2.2% from 2016 to 2017. That's the single largest drop in 1 year that's been recorded. And it may be surprising to know that a reduction in lung cancer deaths is a big reason for that change. Dr. Kurt Edel is medical director for oncology at Gunderson Health System and is based in La Crosse. He's also the past president of the Wisconsin Association of Hematology and Oncology. Dr. Edel, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Let's start with this subset of cancer, lung cancer. Out of cancer deaths in the U.S., how big a part of that is from lung cancer generally?
Actually, a very large part of this. A lung cancer, unfortunately, has the highest mortality of all cancers. In fact, many cancers, breast, colon, melanoma combined, don't equal the death rate from lung cancer. So if you make a change in lung cancer, all other cancers follow when you look at large cancer statistics.
And is that pretty much across the board that lung cancer is that large a percentage? Does that hold true here in Wisconsin and even maybe in other countries as well?
Yes, exactly. And in fact, in other countries where the smoking rate is higher, that's even more the case. Absolutely.
So the data from 2017 shows a significant drop in cancer deaths in the U.S. How big a change is that 2.2%? What does that really mean?
It means that, and that's a big deal. So anytime we see the cancer rate drop is huge. And recently we've been seeing that rate drop sort of consistently year in and year out. But what made this one so different was the degree of drop. So when you translate that 2.2 from 2016 to 2017, and remember that looking at this data, it always lags from the time that cancer registries can report out. So it always lags by a year or two. But, we're talking several hundred thousand people, you could say, did not die that we would have anticipated dying from cancer. And again, lung cancer is sort of the biggest in that group.
And I'm guessing because you said lung cancer is responsible for a large portion of those cancer deaths in the U.S. and that it dropped that much, other cancer is not dropping as much. I'm guessing that means that lung cancer actually dropped even more than that 2.2%.
Perhaps, yes. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead, please.
No, it's just that, when you start to ferret out, where that happens, there's a lot of geographic and a lot of nuances in the data, looking at ethnic, which by and large, we also saw a decrease in the ethnic spread of cancer. So the disparities was also going down, which is very good.
I believe that what you're referring to is that people of color, African Americans in particular, had a higher rate.
Yes. Yeah. And unfortunately, those racial disparities have always been there. And we're starting to see that gap close.
One of the questions that I had in looking at this reporting is, are we seeing fewer cases of lung cancer, or is it that more people are surviving it?
The latter. More people are surviving. Now, having said that, I can't say that the incidence, the number of people getting lung cancer or other cancers, has dropped nearly as much as the number of people who have died of the disease. And part of that has to do with the treatments that we have these days. So more people are living with their cancer than dying of their cancer. And that's what some of this data reflects.
We're talking with Dr. Kurt Edel right now. He's medical director for oncology at Gunderson Health System, and he's based in La Crosse. We're talking about the good news that lung cancer deaths have decreased significantly, and in turn, that has brought down the U.S. cancer deaths quite a bit. And what are some of the most common causes of lung cancer, Dr. Edel? What should we be aware of?
Well, far and away, the elephant in the room is the smoking rate. And what we have consistently seen is the rate of smoking decline across the U.S. Now, here's where you see a lot of sort of geographic differences. So California probably has seen one of the most significant decreases in smoking rates, whereas, you know, there are areas in Kentucky, West Virginia, the Carolinas, that haven't seen nearly that drop. And we can start to look and say the incidence of smoking, as that drops, we're going to start to see the incidence of smoking or of lung cancer drop. But that is separated by a good 10, if not more, years. So the advances that we see in smoking cessation for this kind of study don't play out for 10 or 15 years down the road.
And you said that obviously smoking is the biggest cause of lung cancer, but are there others?
Yeah, so certainly radon. We also know that there's a degree of family history, but we just don't know to what degree or that we can pinpoint like we can, say, for breast cancer or other inheritable risk factors that we can with other types of cancer.
Let's go to the phones at 800-642-1234. And Jennifer in Fitchburg is up. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. So I have a question for the doctor. So smoking and lower socioeconomics is associated, lower socioeconomics and being a person of color overlaps and is also correlated with a greater likelihood of smoking. So my question is, do you think that Medicaid expansion at all contributed to people getting assessed earlier, getting treatment, and who may have died in the past were actually able to have successful treatment? And so I guess the underlying question is, do you see this as more success with treating cancer or a change in health policy that got people, more people covered and in to be assessed and treated at a earlier stage?
Thanks so much for that call, Jennifer. Dr. Edel?
Yeah, so both. What's really interesting is when you start to look at healthcare policy, just having health insurance increases your survival if you have a cancer diagnosis. And that spans sort of no matter what cancer you have. Also, having health insurance will, by and large, we see more cancers diagnosed at earlier stages where cancer is better treated. Yeah. So states who have had Medicaid expansion, who have had more screening, this is where we start to see the benefit. Absolutely.
Thanks for that call, Jennifer. We are talking with Dr. Kurt Edel right now. He's medical director for oncology at Gundersen Health System, and he is based in La Crosse. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about reducing your risk of lung cancer? Are you a cancer survivor? Tell us your story. If you've survived lung cancer, we'd especially like to hear about your experiences. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation after this short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Right now, we're picking up our talk about the drop in U.S. cancer deaths with Dr. Kurt Edel. He's medical director for oncology at Gundersen Health System and is based in La Crosse. He's also the past president of the Wisconsin Association of Hematology and Oncology. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you adopted lifestyle habits with the idea of minimizing your cancer risk? What have you done? If you've survived cancer, how did it change you? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time WPR. And Dr. Edel, I know that when my mother died of lung cancer in 1982, the treatment options were not very good, and both the radiation and chemo were nowhere near as sophisticated as they are now. It was a pretty brutal course of treatment, I have to say.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. What advances have we seen in the last few decades?
Well, certainly we've made many advances in just sort of standard chemotherapy, but more recently, and I think what's really changed the sort of landscape of cancer, not just lung cancer, but many cancers in general, has been the discovery of immunotherapy, the idea that we can harness your own immune system to recognize your cancer. And those therapies have seen dramatic improvements. We've seen that in lung cancer. We've seen that really play out initially in melanoma, skin cancer, as well as kidney cancer, renal cell. And those treatments have not only far extended patients' lives far beyond what we would ever have anticipated when we first started looking at this, but it's also improved their quality of life.
Let's go to the phones, and Mark in Clear Lake is up. Hi, Mark.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi. I just had a quick question about some of the preventative, actually early detection of lung cancer tests that are being promoted now.
Yeah.
I'm just curious if that's worth one's time to do that. I may have quit smoking 15 years ago, but I started... You know, I probably smoked for 25 years, and I don't know if that would be worth my time, or is that even a possibility?
Great question, Mark. Thanks for that. Dr. Edel?
Yes, great question. So what we have seen in lung cancer is that there is a very good screening tool, just like a colonoscopy for colon cancer or a mammogram for breast cancer, a CT scan of the chest. And many of the criteria for that scan, because we're starting to look at patients who would be at risk. So, Mark, you're right in there. The technical sort of qualifications for that CT scan are a 30-pack year smoking history. So, for example, if you smoked a pack a day for 1 year, that's a one-pack year history. So, for patients who have smoked 30-pack years or more, whether they're currently smoking or they quit smoking, are between the ages of 55 and like 75, that ballpark, you're eligible for a screening CT scan of the chest. And we know that for patients who get that scan, that we are reducing the mortality that is dying of lung cancer. So the first things first is talk that over with your primary care physician. We also know that the number of people who are eligible but who actually get screened are very low. That is, there's many people who are eligible but few that actually get screened.
Mm-hmm. And so Mark talking to his doctor and asking to get that screening would probably be the next best step?
Absolutely, yes.
Great. Thanks for that call, Mark. Let's go now to Stephen in Eau Claire. Hi, Stephen.
Hello.
Go ahead.
My question is that it's great the things you're doing to lower the rates of cancer and survival, but do you have statistics on how well they function after surviving it? And do they function well? Are they healthy? Are they still non-functioning but surviving?
Thank you for that call.
Yes, that's a great question. And what we're seeing, particularly with some of the new therapies, is not just people living longer, but people living with better quality of life. So as medical oncologists or cancer doctors, our biggest goal is to turn cancer into a chronic disease, but yet a maintaining quality of life chronic disease, such as, you know, patients living with diabetes or arthritis or heart disease. It's something that you live with, are able to function with, and not be so debilitated. And that's one of the beauties of many of the new treatments that we have.
We're talking right now with Dr. Kurt Edel. He is Medical Director for Oncology at Gunderson Health System based in La Crosse. He's also the past president of the Wisconsin Association of Hematology and Oncology. We're talking about the significant drop in U.S. cancer deaths, specifically lung cancer. You can join in at 800-642-1234. And Dr. Edel, we talked about the fact that smoking is just a huge issue for lung cancer. Are you particularly concerned about the impact of this pretty significant increase in vaping on lung health?
Yes, absolutely. I think that, and people will take issue with this, but I think vaping is a gateway drug to smoking. And I think vaping is really just a wolf in sheep's clothing. We know that where manufacturers are targeting, particularly the adolescent population, that if you can get them hooked on vaping, they're more likely to turn in the smokers, you know, in decades down the road. Even though there's data right now that the manufacturers would say, well, vaping is actually a way to decrease smoking. But I think that, again, I think that's a wolf in sheep's clothing, because I think what we're going to see is this being a gateway drug to smoking.
Let's go now to John in Toma. Hi, John.
Hello. How are you guys this afternoon?
Good. Thanks for calling in. What would you like to share?
Well, I'm a cancer survivor myself. Back in 1990 to 91, that whole year, basically, I was treated for Hodgkin's lymphoma. I believe I got it from the cranberry marsh that I worked on, from the pesticides, the Roundup and stuff like that. You hear about that nowadays. But anyway, it was a rough treatment. It was radiation and chemotherapy combined. And nowadays, the Hodgkin's, all the lymph nodes were swollen up around in my chest area and everything, around my heart, and that's where they did the radiation. And nowadays, I have congestive heart failure.
Yeah.
And someone had told me that could be related to the radiation treatment.
Thanks for that call, John, and so glad that you came out on the other side of that. Dr. Edel, is that an unfortunate result of some cancer treatments?
It certainly can be, yes. You know, and that, you know, that's really, you know, what we're trying to avoid as we move into the future, is that not only can we treat patients and make them live longer, but can they have less sequelae, less sort of long-term side effects of their treatment. But yes, unfortunately, that is very possible that congestive heart failure can result from the treatment that you had, you know, decades ago. Yes.
Well, thanks again for sharing your story, John. Let's go now to Philip in Milwaukee. Hi, Philip.
Hi. I'm curious about, so after hearing about studies pertaining to smoking, in particular cigarette smoking, do the same ideas translate to cannabis use, or is there data about that yet?
Thanks for that, Philip. And certainly, Dr. Edel, with cannabis being approved for especially recreational purposes in a lot of states now, is that something that's really, you know, strongly on your radar?
It is, you know, and one of the problems is cannabis use, particularly smoking cannabis, doesn't have a lot of regulation in the sense of, like, what's in your cigarette, what's in your joint. So the smoking, you know, it's kind of a little bit of like the Wild West. It's not nearly as regulated. So it's, for lack of a better term, buyer beware.
And also with cannabis, I'm guessing that a lot of people are smoking it with no type of a filter as well.
Exactly. So, you know, what else is there that we don't know, or we, you know, like I say, it's hard to regulate and control.
Thanks for that call, Philip. And Dr. Edel, we talked about lung cancer, and also you mentioned melanoma, skin cancer, as showing signs in the right direction. But unfortunately, there are some areas in which progress seems to have stalled: colorectal, breast, and prostate cancers. Do you have a sense of why that might be?
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up, because let me address first, you just mentioned melanoma. What's interesting about this study, looking at the data, was that because of the new therapies that are out, particularly in melanoma and renal, where we really know that immunotherapy, drugs that boost your immune system, have made the biggest difference, we were seeing this drop in melanoma death rates while the incidence was actually going up. So that really argues that people are living longer with this disease. And it really tells us that our therapies are working. I'm glad you brought up the colorectal, breast, and prostate, because, yes, we've seen those incidents drop, but they seem to have plateaued. And as I've just said, you know, smoking is one of the biggest risk factors. What we're starting to see is obesity replacing smoking as one of the biggest risk factors. And when you look at obesity rates, those are the cancers, breast, prostate, and colorectal, where obesity is starting to play a bigger risk factor than other risk factors.
And Dr. Edel, before we let you go, while each type of cancer has its own risk factors, are there general guidelines that can help us better our chances of not developing cancer?
Healthy lifestyle. So, as I tell my patients, those dirty words, diet and exercise, and, you know, maintaining a healthy body weight and not smoking. You know, if our population were committed to those two, I think we would see dramatic improvements in not just the incidence, but also the death rates.
Well, Dr. Edel, thank you so much for joining us today. It was very informative.
Hey, thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Dr. Kurt Edel is Medical Director for Oncology at Gundersen Health System and is based in La Crosse. He joined us to talk about a significant drop in U.S. cancer deaths from 2016 to 2017.